So I'll be reading from 1 Kings chapter 3, from verses 3 to 14. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 to 14. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I'm only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Let's thank God for his word. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's living, it's powerful, it's active. Thank you, Lord, that we can understand it in our language. Lord, we just commit to you those language groups that don't have your word in their language still. Lord, we just pray for Bible translators, Lord, even now, working hard, long hours, Lord, just getting your word into people's languages. Lord, thank you for the privilege of reading it, of hearing it read. And now, Lord, we just have the privilege of listening to your word spoken to us through your servant, Jeff. Lord, we pray for your anointing on him, your enabling, Lord, a clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Lord, that you'll bless him and refresh him as he speaks. And Lord, help us, bless us, anoint us, Lord, to hear your word, to receive it, Lord, to be doers of your word, to take that one more step closer to you. And then that step from this building into your kingdom outside. Lord, be glorified, we pray this morning, in everything that's done and said and listened to. For your name's sake, amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you again. It's a great privilege for me to be standing in this holy place, this place where the gospel's been preached for so many years. It's wonderful for me to be able to stand up here and share with you the thoughts that God has given me this past week. And I can tell you, I've been praying for wisdom. Has there ever been a time where there's not been the need for wisdom more than this? We call it unprecedented. It's the word that's going to begin to grate on me soon, I think. Unprecedented times. Well, I'm not sure, actually, whether that's true for us now. I think there have been many unprecedented times in the history of the world. But these are certainly daunting times, are they not? Don't we need wisdom? Don't we need wisdom so much more than perhaps we have done in our lifetimes at this moment? Didn't our government need wisdom? We come to this passage from that Proverbs that we've been looking at, which was the writings of King Solomon. And we come back, in a sense, to the beginning where those Proverbs come from. They came from God because God gave Solomon wisdom. Thank God for that. It's a brilliant passage. It's a great chunk of history. All of this, the story of King Solomon, is quite powerful and very reassuring in many ways, very uplifting, very daunting as well, very challenging, is the word I'm searching for there. But isn't Scripture always like that? Isn't that right with Scripture, that it challenges us? If you could ask for anything your heart desire, what would it be? There's a good dinner time question perhaps. It's a good question perhaps to ask the kids or the grandchildren. If you could wish for anything you want, what would you wish for? In a survey conducted for a TV game show, nearly 75 to 80% of the people said, money. I want more money. More money. Is that what you would ask for? For more money? Well, if I'm honest, I understand why I might want more money. There's all a bit of Del Boy in me. You're not surprised at that, are you? This time next year, Rodney, this time next year, we're going to be millionaires. Is there a little bit of that in all of us? We want more money. There's nothing wrong with that. No one wants to be poor, not really, unless you've chosen that as a vocation of some kind. No one wants to be poor. No one's going to ask God to make them poor, to take away all the money that I have. What good would that do? Maybe you wish for a long life or health. That might be a better thing to ask for. But most of the things that we could come up with, and there are many, and it would be a good question for asking around your lunchtime table today, perhaps, or as you're driving back in the car, what would you ask for if God offered you anything you would want? What would you ask for? And I would want to encourage you this morning to ask, not for the transient things of life, not for the things that can go in a quick, but to ask for the things of heaven, the things that are eternal. Those are the things that Solomon needed. If you could ask for anything, what would it be? Be careful what you ask for. Solomon didn't ask for those things. He could have asked for 1,000 lifetimes. He could have asked for wealth and power and long life, the ability to crush his enemies, to hit them when they hit you, to do the things that are not of God. He could have asked for all of those stuff. But Solomon asked for wisdom, a discerning heart, and the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Again, do we not need that ability today. Don't we live in difficult times about right and wrong? What is right and what is wrong? Solomon wanted to be able to govern well, to govern his people, to be the leader of that great, wonderful body of people that God had given him to look after. But none of us are that, perhaps, but we all have groups of people to look after, our families, to be the best father, to be the best mother, to be the best grandfather, grandma. Surely these things are worth asking for, that we might know the difference between right and wrong, and that we might share that with our families and with our friends. We have responsibilities, and as Christians we need to speak into those issues today and teach the children what is right and what is wrong, and to learn and to grow in ourselves about these things, because it's all very confusing sometimes these days. I think for many, it certainly is for me. A discerning heart, the ability to distinguish right and what's wrong, what should I do about this, what should I go with this, what Solomon asked for was wise in itself and it pleased God. And you know, we can ask too. We can ask for wisdom. In James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask. God gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It will be given to you if you ask. The way we ask is that we pray. We have an opportunity before us, starting today, to go through the whole week, to pray together, to get hungry together, to fast together, to be together as a church, to see where God is leading us, and to get wisdom about things that we're making decisions for. We can do this too. We can ask God. If we don't ask God for these things, we're going to get dehydrated. We're going to not have what we need. If you don't ask, you don't get. God wants us to ask of him. He wants us to come to him. Dehydrated, how are you doing? How are we doing? Are you feeling a bit sort of run down? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Are you moody? Quick-tempered, maybe? Frustrated? How are you doing? We need to be filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, we get dry. We get barren. So easy to let that run down and down. We need to ask God. If you're not asking, you're not getting. We end up spiritually dehydrated. We don't know where we're going, what we're doing. We're of no use, no good. Ask in faith and believe. Ask in faith and believe in God's power to answer your prayer. And your prayers will be answered. Not might be. Not could be. Perhaps, maybe. Will. It's a great word in Scripture. It comes up so many times. God will. I will be with you. Even unto the ends of the age. Not I might be. I will be. Thank you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you. Every hour we need you. Or is it just me? Thank you for singing that song this morning. It was just what I needed as I sat there thinking about coming up here. I need you, Lord. I need you. Every hour I need you. This story that's before us this morning speaks powerfully into our situations today. It speaks powerfully about God's mercy, God's love for us, God's mercy for us. that bestows gifts upon us even when we don't really deserve it. You know, Solomon was far from perfect. Yet God still came. In verse 5, we find this. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. God often comes to us, doesn't he, in dreams and speaks to us. And God said, ask for anything you want me to give you. God came. In the beginning, God came. God was there. It was God in the beginning. God comes. God is with us. It's God that's telling Solomon to ask. It's not Solomon coming to God asking. It's God telling Solomon, ask for anything you want me to give you. It's worth noting that simple thing in this scripture. But God is good. He comes to us. He is with us. We don't have to go searching for him. We don't have to beg him. Beg him before he'll crumble and say, okay, all right, okay. We have a most fantastic God, a powerful God who wants to help us. Solomon was not perfect. He had a good heart. Yes, he did. He was a good person in many ways, but he fell far short of God's standards. Don't we all? Yes, we do. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need God. God comes to us even though we fall far short. That's why we need repentance. We need to say sorry before we receive. You know, Solomon made alliances with other nations. Egypt, in verse 1 in this passage, he made an alliance with Egypt, wanted to marry Pharaoh's daughter. This is wrong. This was not a thing he should have done. And by the end of his life, he's made about 700 allegiances. He's been married 700 times. Can you imagine that, boys? How wonderful. I'm not sure. To form alliances with powerful nations, that was not right. I think that's in the Torah. You shouldn't do that. He was not perfect. Solomon's encouraging the offering of sacrifices on the, as the scripture put it, the high places. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt offerings on the high places. The high places now are pagan sites. It's against the Torah. It's against the rules. You don't make your sacrifices at the pagan sites. And he was enabling and encouraging his people to do just that. And he comes to Gibeon. And that's another, perhaps the greatest of the high places, the pagan sites. But this particular site was a bit mixed because it was the place where the tabernacle, the tent of the Lord, was stored in a shed somewhere. Not right, not quite right, not getting it right with the Lord. Yet God still comes. That's my point. That he was the son of Bathsheba and David. That adulterous relationship that David had with Bathsheba. Now he'd sent Bathsheba's husband out to war to get him killed so he could have an affair with his wife. And this is the result. Solomon, King Solomon. He wasn't the firstborn of David, which would have been the king that should have taken on the throne, I would have imagined. But God chose Solomon. God chose Solomon to be the next king of Israel. But God is full of grace and full of mercy. Thank God. And wants to help everyone who's in need. The good and the bad. God shines his light on both, that we might live in a better world than we live in. We don't have to be perfect. Again, thank God. Thank God for Jesus. What would we do? We don't have to be perfect. We obviously must learn to grow into his likeness, but slowly, very slowly sometimes. And surely, yes, by the power of the Spirit, by God's grace and mercy, yes, surely, surely. But God comes to us even though we are far from perfect. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 24, the man comes to Jesus with his son. It's a passage we're going to use all through the coming week. I believe, he says, I do believe, Jesus, help me overcome my unbelief. Help me have more faith. Please, that might be a prayer we might all want to make this week. Let me have more faith. I do believe, but Christ, so confusing. We live in such a world. Please, Lord, help me have more. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Someone once said to me, I wish I had your faith. I said to him, are you saying your prayers? Oh, no. Are you reading your Bible? Are you staying in Christian fellowship? Are you trying to walk with the Lord? Oh, no. What do you expect? I do believe. Help my unbelief. Is this a prayer that you could easily pray? There's not really a better one. Help my unbelief, Lord. Come to me. The big news of the Bible is that God came to us. It's not that we go to him. He comes to us. It's not that we love him. It's that he loves us. He has your name tattooed on his chest, on his arm, so to speak. He loves you. He loves you. His love for you outnumbers the grains of sand on the earth. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Never do you leave his sight. He's always watching over you. Never do you flee from his presence. He is always with us. Isn't it wonderful? He sees the worst of us and loves us still. He knows us better than we know ourselves, yet still he loves us. Really? That's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yes, that saved a wretch like me. No lack of faith will disillusion God. No bad decision we might make or no rebellion we might take. He loves us with an everlasting love and wants to give us everything our heart desires. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. God came to Solomon. Secondly, this story speaks powerfully about Solomon's humility. Solomon's humility, who had it all, but still knew that he needed God. He had everything. Solomon shows great humility here in this passage. He presided over, Solomon, one of the greatest nations in the world at that time. As big as Egypt's powerful nations. He had all the wealth that David had stored up and got. It was a powerful, powerful nation. It was a mega nation. It was a big nation in that time, at that time. It was the golden era, if you like, of Israel's history. Starting with Saul. King Saul wasn't such a good king. Then King David, who built this golden empire, gradually, slowly, And now Solomon, inheriting all that wealth and all that power and strength, 1.3 million fighting force in their army at that time. Alliance with Egypt. Peace and prosperity. It was a fantastic time. Solomon had it all. Yet still saw his need. Still knew that he needed God. He sees himself as a little child. He's probably about 20 years old, we believe. Sees himself as a little child. He says, I'm just a child. Why do you give me this task, Lord? Why are you letting me be king? I'm a kid. I don't have the abilities. Why, Lord? No idea how to carry out his duties. I don't know about you, but I find myself getting lost sometimes in that respect. I feel like a little child sometimes. I don't have the knowledge I need. I don't have the experience I need. Solomon knows he needs God, even though he has everything. And in humility, he asks for wisdom to do the job that God has called him to do. You know, when we pray, and when you pray this week, maybe you could ask for help in that respect. You know, Lord, you've given me this task to do. You've given me my family. You've given me my friendships. You've given me my job in the church. You've called me to do this. Lord, give me the ability to do that. That's a good prayer for us, I think. Equip me, Lord. Equip me to be able to fulfill the task to which you've called me. That would be a good prayer, perhaps, for us. He knows he needs a discerning heart. A discerning heart. And the ability to tell right from wrong. What do we like asking for things like this? Do we ask? Do you think you have enough in your own self to be able to compete or cope with what you've been called to do? Or do you know your need of God's help in these things? Do you forget to ask him to help you? Do you just get on with it? Do you just throw yourself into it and then wonder why you're so exhausted at the end of the day? Why did I lose my temper in the car there? Why didn't I have more patience with that situation? Do you ever wonder whether you can cope with it yourself, or do you ask? Are you asking, is what I'm trying to say. What do you like asking? Remember that God commands it. God came and said, ask. He almost commands Solomon to ask, doesn't he? Ask, he says. Goodness sake, ask me. I'm here. Let me help you. Something like that. It's a good lesson to learn that we need God's help. Otherwise, we'll be exhausted with some of the things we're asked to do. If we're not asking, we're not getting. It's like saying, I don't need you. I don't need you. Can you imagine how God must feel about that? It's not that our own abilities count for nothing. Of course not. We do have experience. We do have knowledge. Of course we do. We do have gifts within ourselves. But worldly wisdom, which they are, is limited, isn't it? The things we've learned, the experiences we've had, the gifts we have in ourselves as personalities, They are limited, aren't they? It's godly wisdom we need. Godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. You know this prayer, and it may be a prayer you want to pray this coming week. It's called the Serenity Prayer. You know it well, don't you? Would it be too much if we said it together? Would you say it together with me? God, say again. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This story speaks powerfully about Solomon's humility, who had it all, but knew his need. And thirdly, this story speaks powerfully about God's incredible generosity, God's mercy, Solomon's humility, now God's generosity that gives more than we ask for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. God came to Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. God was pleased with that answer and says, I will give you wisdom, but I will give you more. I will know that you want more money. I know that you want more of this, that, and the other. I will give you those things as well, on top of, plus. God is generous of heart. He knows what we need. We can pray that God will give us those earthly things. Of course we can. We can ask him. And in his wisdom, he will decide how to give them and what to give. But we can be assured that as we seek first the kingdom of God, make him the priority. Push into him. If you're going through a bad time, can I encourage you? Push into God. Push in. Do not give up. Keep praying. Be patient. Be persevering in your praying. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Push in. If you're going through a difficult period, do not give up. God will sort it out. God will be with you through it and in it and bring you through it. That's been my experience and the experience of many, many people. God was pleased with his answer. It showed good character. He was asking in accordance with God's will, not in accordance with his will. When we pray, let's pray in accordance with God's will. Let's just ask God for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom to know what to do and where to go and how to do it. This is something we can all ask for. Wisdom. James 1:5. James knew it wasn't easy to live as Christians through bad times, through dark times. It's hard. The people he was writing to, James, at the time, were struggling. They were being persecuted. They were in a dark place. James knew it wasn't easy to live as a Christian when things go wrong, when things aren't going right. His readers were facing huge trials. He wants them to know how to navigate through the storm. You know, I was thinking about Dan's box, his little gift box that he showed us as he was explaining communion. And it reminded me of a story. A man got to heaven and he was being shown round, and he came to a cupboard and they opened the cupboard, and in the cupboard was stacked high with little boxes, gift boxes. and each one had his name written on it. And the man said to God, what's all this? He said, well, these are the gifts you didn't ask for. I don't know. That analogy works for you, but it sort of works for me. It's my level of things. These are the gifts I wanted to give you, but you didn't ask me. You were off running. You were off doing. Why don't you stop and say, Lord? I wonder if there is such a cupboard in heaven, stacked high with unopened gifts. Our prayer week, so important, David. Thank you and the team for enabling this, for making this happen. May we all pray, connect with it. Use perhaps some of the things that I've said through the scripture this morning. Maybe we grow as a family, grow as individuals. And we've got Holy Communion this morning. Maybe there's a time there where you can just say to God, Lord, I'm sorry, I forgot you. Or words to that effect. Holy Communion is the precious place where we can come so powerfully to God. God, using those symbols, that reenactment, Christ died, his body broken and his blood shed. Ask for whatever you want God to give you. But be careful what you ask for. Ask for wisdom, a discerning heart, and the ability to be able to know which is right and which is wrong. Patiently pursue the presence of God through this coming week. Patiently pursue the presence of God in your life and for your life and for the life of the world, for the life of your family and your friends and your neighborhood. Patiently pursue his presence. Don't give up. Push in. Ask for whatever you want him to give you. And he will answer your prayer in his time and in his way. God's mercy that gives even when you don't deserve it. Solomon's humility, who had it all but knew he still needed God. And thirdly, God's generosity that gives us more than we could ever ask for or believe. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, all these other things, will be added unto you. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, may you be with us in our thinking, be with us in our praying, in our asking. Bestow upon us the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. We might know your presence. May we might do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.